I have an explanation. It'll take a minute, so I'm just going to open with, I learned about it in race car school.
I think I just got mansplained.
Man. You got race car splained. That's what happened.
That's right. Oh, man.
Hello, everyone. It's Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we are here to help make today make sense and learn why you steer into a skid. Maybe.
I didn't understand that. And Molly, I knew would because she's been to race car school. Anyway, so Monday we'll do a little news. We'll do a little some make me smile and then send y'all on your merry ways. You have one, two, how many here? I'm scrolling down. Oh, no, just two. Okay.
It's just two. It's just two and a little quote, supporting materials. Yeah. I put a lot of links in today. I'm a little fired up.
Go.
All right, I'll begin. So I was looking simultaneously at, as with almost every day on the tech beat, I've been talking a lot about disinformation, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. It started because tomorrow's tech show is all about the purge that's been happening, how the purge in the federal government has now reached CISA, this agency that's in charge of securing basically critical infrastructure, cybersecurity. And one person from that team has been pushed out. It's the director has essentially said he thinks his job is going to be eliminated because they've been pushing back on misinformation and disinformation about the election. Election security, turns out, is considered critical infrastructure. And the White House has asked them not to. So things are awkward. And then I saw this story, and that gets me to my actual stories for today, which are, I saw this interview. President Obama has been doing the rounds and giving interviews and talked to The Atlantic and said, among other things, that he thinks that the inability to agree on truth is the greatest threat to our democracy right now, and says that he doesn't hold tech companies entirely responsible because it obviously predates social media, but says, quote, social media has turbocharged it, and basically says, like, these companies are making editorial choices. They can't continue to say, we're the phone company. We're just, you know, we're just putting information out, and it's doing what it may, particularly because, as I've said on this show before, they manipulate it via algorithm. It's market-manipulated speech. And simultaneously to me reading that, the next tweet I saw was, you know, BuzzFeed, Ryan Mack is just doing God's work over there, holding Facebook to account constantly. And the latest revelation about Facebook and its sort of, I think we can call them half-hearted efforts to moderate the type of speech that is contributing to the destruction of the fabric of democracy, is that although in 2019, Facebook put in effect a policy that said, if you see like a call to arms in a group, you should probably do something about that. So it put that policy into effect, presumably through one of those like Mark Zuckerberg blog posts. And then it never told anyone to enforce it. Oh, they didn't tell the moderators, apparently. According to sources familiar with its content moderation practices, they did not instruct third-party content moderators to enforce that part of the policy. And then even when they did start enforcing it, and this is partly why they didn't take down the Kenosha group, even that is so it's so carefully parsed the way it expects moderators to approach this, that it, you know, becomes borderline useless. They're like, well, if they just say, bring guns to our party, then we don't do anything. But if they do say, bring guns to our party at a synagogue, then we could do something. I mean, literally, like, that's these are the distinctions that they're asking these third-party underpaid content moderators who have to go in the office and get COVID to make. It's just, at some point, it's a choice. It's a choice.
Yeah, and I should stop asking you if Facebook is ever going to get its act together, right? Because clearly they're just not. And that's part of the business model, and they just will keep doing what they're doing, right?
Evidently, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what, if not now, then when?
Right. That's exactly it. If not now, if not in this moment, after all we have seen the past, you know, weeks, months, and well on years, if not now, when? That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Screwed.
Yep.
Screwed. Speaking of screwed, So there's this new vaccine news today, which is amazing. It's great. 94.5% effectiveness with this Moderna vaccine. But then I got to thinking about how many people in this economy are not going to take these shots. And so I went looking for the actual numbers. So here's the deal. In a Pew Research poll as of mid-September, so not all that long ago, 51% of American adults say they would definitely or probably get a vaccine to prevent COVID-19 if it were available today. 49%, they definitely or probably would not.
Yeah.
And therein lies the downfall, because it's not going to work if half the people don't get vaccinated. And of course, we can trace this directly back to the politicization of this crisis and the president trying to manipulate the vaccine companies into getting it out before the election and all of those things. And look, props to the administration for warp speed, billions of dollars. It has been truly a success story. But holy cow. Mm-hmm. Right. If the price we pay is nobody's going to get this shot because they don't trust the government, what are we even doing?
That's yep.
It. You know?
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Well, I guess the only, I mean, whew, I'm going to try to get to a silver lining via the darkest, most upsetting route possible.
Let me know how that goes. I'm
going to warn you in advance. But the data that we have about how bad the reemergence of this virus is right now is itself already a month old, right? So we are going to start looking at some profoundly apocalyptic scenarios in the next couple of weeks and months. We just are. This thing is out of control. And even though the death rates are lower than they were in spring because we know more and there are better treatments, hospitals are already overwhelmed and it is going to get worse. And boy, I'll tell you, it is very possible that even as recently as September, which might as well be a year ago in terms of when the virus was a little, at least seemingly more under control, or at least had not reached some of these smaller towns that really, I think, just thought it wasn't going to get here yet. I think it's going to be night and day. Like, take that poll again today, take that poll again in a month. Pretty soon people are going to be like, yes, please, I would like a vaccine now, please. Could you hurry up with the vaccine? That would be super.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think the mood is going to change given that they had to invent the new color on those maps that showed the degree of virus spiking? Red's not enough. They had to go to like purple to get, you know, the higher rate per capita of infection. So do you think that's going to do it? Or do you think we have to have like Anthony Fauci live on television getting this shot like in his eyeball to show that it's safe, because otherwise nobody's going to believe it? You know?
I mean, that too. Yeah, that too. I think I really do. If I don't have faith in humanity, I at least have faith, which I generally do, actually. I mean, really, the majority of people like are wearing masks. That number has only gone up. You know, the number of people willing to wear masks has only increased. I believe that the number of people, do you know anybody at this point who doesn't know someone who has had COVID? Like,
I have heard tell of people in my social circle. I don't know anybody actually directly who has had COVID now, which is kind of amazing.
Oh, you don't?
Talks about privilege and bubble and all that jazz. Yeah, no, I really don't.
Oh, okay. Huh. I have a bunch of extended family members who have had COVID, two have died. They're in the middle. Wow. I mean, but here's the thing, like pretty soon everyone will know someone. Pretty soon, even in states, and in states now, I mean, now once you're talking about Montana and North Dakota, where my family is, you're talking about states that are small, right? They're one big small town. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows someone. And there's nothing, and apparently we are a country that needs to be convinced through experience. Well, that experience is here.
Yeah.
So really bummer silver lining is that I think a lot more people will be willing by spring. I really do.
Okay. Look, I'll take that. I'll take that as a way to get to a silver lining, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Who's driving? Hit it, Ben. Here we go. So, it's always good to go to animals. It's always good to go to animals for your Make Me Smile. But I saw this story in the Washington Post, and I truly could not decide whether it was parody or real. So there's a bird contest in New Zealand. No, parody. Cut it out. I'm not that dorky. But wait, a plump, waddling parrot, writes Jennifer Hassan in the Washington Post, has soared past its competition to claim victory in New Zealand's Bird of the Year contest, a tense race marked by attempted voter interference during a divisive month of campaigning. In what event organizers conceded was a stunning upset, the critically endangered cockapoo flew into first place to steal the title, ruffling the feathers of those who say the bright green parrot unfairly secured a second term as a chosen bird. And then there's this whole thing about data analysis and online voting fraud and all kinds of stuff. That just made, I honestly thought it was parody for a minute. I truly did, but it's actually fabulous. But anyway, so it's a plump green parrot. It's the critically endangered cockapoo. Yes.
Aww.
Wait, there was
a line
here. Wait. So the spokesperson for the Bird of the Year said in a statement November 10th, officials did not want to see any more cheating. Cheating is not the Kiwi way. That's what I got.
Oh, that
also,
is
they
delightful.
Have the virus completely under control. They have the virus completely under control.
They
Let us not forget
totally
that.
Totally do. Yep.
Yes.
Definitely
and
do.
Jacinda Ardern is just a badass, but, you know, whatever.
Seriously.
Can I say that?
Seriously. Can they clone her?
She is. I know, yeah. Right?
And just put her in charge of everything?
Because,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My Make Me Smile is also in a roundabout way about a badass. Because, okay, so today, this great news about the Moderna vaccine. And by the way, this is the second great news in a row. The first, you know, of course, being Pfizer having a vaccine that they say is 90% effective. And and I should note, unrelated to Project Warp Speed, right? They were very clear about that. Like, this isn't, we're not part of that thing. So if you're worried about that thing, don't worry because we have that. And then the Moderna vaccine also, I don't know if it is, I think, got some, yes, they got $1.5 billion from Operation Warp Speed. But the Moderna, I just couldn't help but note that the Moderna team also got a big boost from Vanderbilt. This Vanderbilt research team worked on it, and their vaccine was one of those being studied at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, which early on in the pandemic received $1 million donation for its research. From Dolly Parton.
Oh, man, I love that. That's great.
So I'm just saying that Dolly Parton...
She actually is a bad...
...is going to save us all. Yep. Dolly Parton.
For sure.
I will totally take the Dolly Parton vaccine. Give it to me.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it was also just like the most 2020 thing ever. Like a friend... Actually, I have to give all credit to my friend Matt, who texted me and was like, wait. Is the Moderna vaccine the one that came to us via Vanderbilt, via Dolly Parton? I didn't make any of that up. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've read all day. greatest thing I've read all day. Thank you, Dolly.
That's awesome. There you
now
go.
Now and forever.
Boom. And Dolly Parton takes us out. All right. We're done on a Monday. Tomorrow, we're actually going to one of the big winners in this election, drugs. We're going to talk drug policy, decriminalization, what that might mean for this economy. It's a whole like thing that's happening out there. You know, yes, there was medical marijuana, but there's more than that. And so we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, it is super interesting, and there's a ton of money behind it. If you have questions for our expert about decriminalizing drugs, about legalizing marijuana, about the research, the money, the whatever, send them our way, makemesmart@marketplace.org. I think it's going to be super interesting. Tomorrow, we're turning to drugs. Keep the voice.
This is your brain. This is your podcast on drugs.
Voice, this is your podcast, soon to be on drugs. Right. Keep the voice memos coming. We love them, as always.
Please. please.
Here comes Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device. One of the hardest working women on the team, I'm going to say. People.
No question. Yep. Ben Tolliday engineered today. He did our theme music with Daniel Ramirez. Senior producer is Donna Tam. Executive director on demand is Tarnie Evis.
Is it bad that I kind of want to replace our customary music?
Yeah.
I know, I heard. I was waiting for it. I was like, ooh.
With Dolly. We should have.
Jolene. Send us like your favorite Dolly songs. I can't. I mean, it's over now. I'll be singing that all day. Apologies to literally everyone I encounter, which will be no one because we're back in the purple.
all over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.